There is a book signing at Hearthside Bookstore at the Nugget Mall tonight, and there will be quite a dynamic duo of writers on hand to sign your books. Lee Newman, who is author of Nobody Gets Out Alive. What a title, Nobody Gets Out Alive. She grew up in Alaska and works out of New York. And we also have Heather Lindy. She is Haynes' hometown writer, one of Alaska's most popular writers in Alaska. And the tourists all grab up her books whenever they come through Alaska. So bookstores love her. And really what we have today is a yin and yang of two writers. They're both women. Both write compelling stories about Alaska, but Lee is gritty, edgy, and Heather's work is equally powerful, but in a different way, poignant, focused on chronicling small-town life, and as I mentioned, she's also the state writer laureate. So, such a pleasure to have the both of you in our room, and we also have Katrina Wolford, who is with Hearthside Books, joining us to give us some information about today's book signing. So maybe we should start with you, Katrina, because I understand that's getting underway pretty soon here.
Yes. Well, thanks for having us. I really want to just turn it over to Lee and Heather. Tonight's event will be at our Nugget Mall store at 5:30, and it's going to be Lee and Heather in conversation, which should be quite entertaining.
So have the two of you worked on your conversation? Do you know what you're going to be talking about tonight?
We just met about 10 minutes ago in the hotel, yeah. And we worked on the fact that Lee lives very near where my late parents' farm was in New York, so we have that connection. And, you know, and I will say we're kind of different, but we're kind of the same. And, you know, she just gets to use a lot more bad words than I do. But I came through newspapers, so remember everything. My early training was all like, you know, it was in a family paper, and hers are, you know, literary magazines and cutting edge stuff. So it's just a little different, but I love her new book. Her stories made me laugh out loud, and some of them are really sad and hard too, but it's terrific.
I mean, you both have poignant things, very moving things in your book, but you just approach them very differently. And Heather, I think that for many people, they read your book maybe to be comforted in some way, where I think that you probably read one of Lee's books to get a bit of a rush. I don't know, Lee, what do you think?
Well, I mean, I will say that, like, I think sometimes in literary circles or whatever, it's super popular to be, you know, clever or to value ideas over, you know, heart and meaning. And I know heart feels like a goofy word, but actually I totally believe in it. So I was trying to get you in the heart. You know, I learned early on that it's really easy to be mean and funny and smart, and it's much harder to be patient and slow and really figure out a way to break people's hearts if that, you know, I wouldn't say that was my goal, but I want the reader to have some emotional reaction. I want them to be afraid, or I want them to be in love, or I want them to be, you know, I want them to be full of regret, or I want them to have some feeling from it. That's the whole reason why I would write. So sometimes I do write about things that are, you know, they do create a deeply personal reaction in the reader. But.
Well, you know, your biography was a big hit, and I mean, you got reviews from the New York Times and other prestigious reviewers. So this book was a little bit different, though. That was a biography of your life.
Right, that was a memoir, Still Points North, about my childhood. My dad was a bush pilot and a doctor in rural Alaska, and we lived all over the place, and that was super fun to write. It was my life story. But actually, it turns out I'm not as good as Heather about writing about my life. It wiped me out. I felt like I had one memoir in me, and that was it. And I don't know why I say that, because I've actually written tons of essays. But I just decided to try and write fiction. And I had written it when I was much younger. I had failed. I had not done well. And so I just kind of sat down to relearn how to write fiction, how to write stories. Because what I wanted to bring was all that, like, authenticity of a memoir, where it feels as if it happened to you, but I wanted to do it in a fictional thing so I could move things around and bring in all these cool things like mastodon skulls, or, you know, the people mover bus, or all the things from my life, right? You know, cross-country ski skiing on Lake Iliamna. You know, when it's fiction, you get to bring 26 different things from your life and put them in one story instead of tell 26 stories.
So this new book that you came up with, Nobody Gets Out Alive, is a collection of short stories.
Yeah.
But they aren't they're kind of interdependent.
Yeah,
but,
yeah, totally.
But dependent. You can read one without
right.
having the others, but
yeah.
if you read them all, you get a different experience.
Right. So you could read any individual story, and most of them have been published in different magazines as individual stories. But when you put them together, you realize that you'll see someone at age 12, and then you'll see her again at 40. They're mostly about women. And I invented a lake called Diamond Lake, which is very similar to every other lake, floatplane lake you've ever been on, including Jewel Lake, Campbell Lake, every lake I've ever grown up on. But I invented
big
it myself.
Lake. I kept thinking Big Lake.
Yeah, Big Lake is exactly what too.
I mean, I think the places that Lee writes about have been underserved by Alaskan literature,
yeah.
I think. You know, it's that, you know, the that Anchorage, Mat-Su, 70s, 80s, 90s, like...
vibe.
Yeah, and I think, I just think that you bring so much heart to it, and it all reads so true. It really could be nonfiction to me. And
yeah.
When I'm reading it, I'm just like... I know these people. I've been there. I've seen it. And yet you're very, you are compassionate to your characters.
Oh, I love them.
Yeah. I liked them too.
If you're looking down on them and say they do things, and my characters do a lot of questionable things. You know, they peddle an opioid sometimes, or they, you know, drink and drive and run into a Papa John's pizzeria.
Steal each other's wives. You know, yeah, there's a lot of that.
There's a lot of wife stealing, a lot of neglectful
husband,
parenthood.
Whatever it is. There's a lot of partner swapping.
Yeah, but they are, I love those people. You know what I mean?
I liked them too. I think you did a great job.
Thank you.
So Heather, I have to ask you about your latest book, Of Bears and Ballots, Alaskan Adventure in Small Town Politics. And of course we have an election coming up, and one of the weirdest elections as far as electing someone to replace Congressman Don Young. It's going to be quite a marathon of voting
sessions.
Have
you seen the ballot with like 50 something people on it?
49.
You counted. I just looked and went, okay.
So you had another chapter in your book, maybe.
Maybe. I don't know. I really think that Alaskan politics are probably best served with fiction. So, Lee, I'd love to see you take a crack at it. Because you can use the kind of language I don't.
I know, but you know what? The Alaskan politicians, I love an eccentric character, and we could go really far with that.
Actually, I think Alaskan politics is delicious, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it is. We have the weirdest things happening, and a lot of times they happen in mid-course, and they just come whoosh out of left field, you know, somebody, you know, like the Malott Walker candidacy,
yeah.
where they merge. So, well, Katrina, what's it like to have two of these writers together in one place at one time? I mean, they're both very well known and on the rise, not only in Alaska, but nationally.
It's delightful. I have known both of these women for a very long time, and they seem to be a very good fit conversationally, so I think it's wonderful when well-known and well-respected authors can sit and with another author and learn from each other and be inspired by one another, and it's just wonderful. So I think the audience is going to appreciate it very much.
So you don't know what this conversation is going to be, but...
I do. I feel like I've been reading Heather for like a long, long time, and I never got to meet her, so I've been talking to her in my brain for a long time. You know how when you read a writer that you love, you're thinking about them and you're in conversation with them as a writer going, oh, look what she did. Oh, I like that. You know, so.
I just feel, you know, it's been a couple of years since I hardly talked to anybody except myself. And
yeah.
so it's really interesting
yeah.
to hear that. It's like, oh yeah, like I'm out in the world now and it's all, and now, you know, and there's cruise ships in Juneau and it's
yeah.
like, it's like, what just happened? Where are we back?
Yeah.
We're back on the planet in a way, but then I guess just because we decided to be, like, I don't know.
It's, yeah,
it's the all planet very, is here.
It's all quite surreal to me.
Well,
the
good thing about it is the audience will have been in their rooms too for several years. So
yeah.
whatever we do
will be
interesting.
It'll be interesting. But one thing that seems to be a common thread between the two of you is, you know, we're in the reality show era where everybody has these perceptions of Alaska based on those shows. And some of them are very fake. You know, they have these scenarios that just do not happen. And so I think both of you, though in different ways, kind of bring some authenticity, the real story about what it's like to be in Alaska. Is that something that you consciously try to do, Lee?
Oh, 100%. I mean, 100%. Because, like, when I meet people in the lower 48, they're always, like, asking about the show Alone. And I'm like, an Alaskan would never go naked into the wilderness willingly. Ever. Like,
unless
without
in, like,
sufficient
in
preparation.
The,
are you kidding me?
In the warm springs. In
yeah.
Tempe.
And then, you know, like, yeah. So there's a lot of things where people, you know, people think I can also just do, they'll say I'm a little cold. And they go, you're from Alaska. And I'm like, yeah, we have heating. We have garages. We plug in our cars. You know, I'm in Connecticut. You know, people have moss as insulations. The houses are like from 1776. It's freezing. And so there's all these misconceptions, you know, and they're just only exacerbated by the TV shows, honestly. I was trying to talk about the real Alaskans, and the Alaskans I had never seen before. And those would be, you know, housewives in Anchorage who are, you know, flying out and climbing a glacier one day and then going to Costco and buying, you know, discount filet mignons, you know, or, you know, young teenagers who are out with their parents, you know, I'm making this one up. I actually didn't write this one, you know, out with their parents and a lot of firearms, but not killing each other, just very comfortably using them. You know, there's all these different ways that at least I grew up that I never saw in any fiction. And I definitely didn't want to do like the macho man in Alaska with a cabin and a shotgun, you know, contemplating the universe. I feel like I wanted to see a lot of women, and I wanted to see strong, independent women, and I wanted to see women who were really comfortable in all facets, you know, women that wore cashmere. There are Alaskan women out there that dress to kill.
And there are women, and there are women that one day will be, you know, in their Carhartts.
Yeah.
With fish slime all over them.
Yes.
And in the cashmere sweater the next day.
That's, in fact, all my friends, a lot of them, you know, or they've got a big, beat up pair of extra tufts, and they're just living all kinds of different lives and negotiating them. And also how they negotiate, like, you know, there's a lot of men in our society and how they deal with that, you know, male-dominated society is really what I think about. Although I, you know, I'm not negative about it, but I think it's a different approach than you'll find down the lower 48. And it's never talked about, really, except for, like, if you want to go get a husband, go to Alaska and get a husband. I don't think that's the talk
I
want to have.
The odds are good, aren't they?
And the goods are odd, yeah.
Well, we are just about out of time. I just have a few moments. Heather, anything you want to add to what Lee just said?
No, I mean, I think the only thing is that, and we all know this, anybody who lives in Alaska knows there's like at least 20, 30, probably 40 different Alaskans, just regionally Alaskans. You know, where people live is so different, and the communities we live in. And so, you know, I just write about one small place, and it's also, it's always going to be through my own filter. Mm-hmm. But I lean the same way that Lee does, in that, you know, I wanted to make sure people knew there were, like, sidewalks and there's a school and people can live in an apartment.
I'm going to have to go.
Oh,
we're out of time.
Okay.
Sorry. That'll do it for Juno Afternoon. Thanks for joining us.
Support for Juno Afternoon is provided by Hanson Gress, Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, and Klinkit & Haida Social Enterprises. For more information, visit ktoo.org/JunoAfternoon.